Good afternoon, family. I'm a recovering addict. My name is Anthony.
Anthony.
God is truly amazing, right? Before I do anything, I first have to express my gratitude to a loving and caring higher power for whom I choose to call God, for continuing to love me in spite of me. Right? The program of Narcotics Anonymous and you people for showing me this new way to live. It truly is, for me, a new way to live. Up until she called my name, you know, I was going through my thing and thinking that, you know, I for some reason ain't feeling nervous because I see a lot of people I know and, you know, it's been all festive and everything. And then all of a sudden she said my name and it got real, you know what I'm saying? Right? Because, Luke, they talking about 30 minutes. They want to know the whole story, right? They want to know all of it, but I'm okay with that because, see, my seventh step, and y'all taught me that, Anthony, if nothing else, man, you know, this program and this process is about you being exactly who you are. So in other words, I don't have to come up here and get brand new and embellish and try to get creative with my story. You know what? The hell that I went through to get here, man, is it's more than enough to have earned my seat here. Right? You know, real quick, man, before I talk about a new way to live, I got to tell you how, you know, I got here because, you know, it was nothing like how I'm living now. Right. And for those who want me to talk about the gory details of the hell that I went through prior to getting here or whatever, we're going to touch into that because I need to let you know I belong here. Right. But for real, you know, the internal change and the transformation that's come about, man, since being in this process, you know, has taken place as a result, man, of you people, man, in these 12 steps. I'm not confused. You know, I love this process, right, for a lot of reasons, but primarily because this process helped me find me when I didn't know I was lost. You know, this program introduced me to a stranger, man, that I thought I knew. You know, you people and how y'all living, man, gave me a blueprint, right, to all my dreams. And for that, man, I'm eternally grateful. Right. So real quick about me, you know, I came. Y'all got me in 1987 initially as a spoiled, self-centered, egotistical only child. Right. Me and my mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, spiritual advisor, all wrapped up into one strong sister. We just 15 years apart, and it's been me and her against the world ever since. Still is. Right. One of my first memories is of a gentleman jumping on my, at the time, 16-year-old mother. Right. So seeing violence perpetrated against somebody that I love to the extent that I love my mother, right, was the birthplace of my anger. Y'all taught me that in four, right? But the reason that that's important is because I needed to know why, you know, having received so much love, having been surrounded by uncles and aunties who were my sisters and brothers who really, really loved me, right? Being surrounded by, you know, what I thought was a loving and caring environment or whatever, still left me feeling inadequate, insecure, frustrated, disappointed, and very, very angry. But it's cool, see, because, you know, I need to say something about my higher power that I was able to pick up and start developing a relationship at 9 years old. I need to say something about that relationship because, see, for me, this process and this program is all about two things. I'm talking about me. Y'all asked me to tell my story. It's about change and it's about a relationship. Now, there's a lot of other tentacles that are involved, but for me, you know, prior to the drugs and active addiction and after, right, it's still about change and a relationship. See, because prior to getting here, I needed to change, true enough. Because I told you I was angry and a lot of other things. But after getting here and being blessed with 9 years and 3 days, don't short me on my days. Right? Clapping for yourselves because you gave me that. After getting here and having been here for a half a second or whatever, I still have a strong desire to change. That's why I take it literally when y'all say, keep coming back and more will be revealed. Because there's some more things, I got some, as we say, I got some residue that still need to be addressed. And I'm all right with that because, see, one of the big things that I did pick up early on prior to getting here was fear. I wasn't just afraid of the world around me and put on the angry mask, right, to try to hide it, you know. I started doing things at a young age that made me afraid of me. Right? Because, see, I'm one of those, you know, one of those lambs in wolf's clothing. Right? Because, see, the exterior is okay, well, you know, he's all right. He's cool or whatever. It's all good, you know what I'm saying? But see, for real, remember I told y'all I was angry. I saw somebody hurt somebody that I love so much that when you flip that switch, talking about my reality, I'm not no tough person, but the thing of it is, you know, I stopped being afraid and I want to do harm, you know, harm that I'm not proud of anymore. Right. Because, see, once upon a time, you know, around here, we call those, you know, survival skills. Right. You know, wearing the mask. Right. Trying to fit in and belong and be a part of when underneath it all, I wanted to hurt something or somebody because I felt hurt and disappointed and let down by the world around me. You know, prior to coming to y'all, I didn't know I had a resentment towards my father. And I told y'all that my mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, spiritual advisor, sister, that loved me so much, you know, I didn't know I missed having a father. I didn't care. You can't miss something you ain't never had. Until I came around here and y'all helped me, you know, as we say around here, get to the exact nature of some stuff. And for real, this man was alive and doing very, very well and wanted nothing to do with me. Now, prior to getting to y'all, I didn't really care. You know, but see, after getting here and doing a little work on me or whatever, I found another layer of anger because I'm like, what's so wrong with me? Dude? What did we do to you that you can't come around just to say, hey, what's up? You can't just let me know I'm your dad. We wasn't asking you for nothing. She wanted, but we wasn't asking you for nothing. Right? Because for real, you know, the mere fact that we lived in a room, you know, the mere fact that she had no education, the mere fact that, you know, she was going from one situation to another trying to make a life for her and her kid or whatever. Well, the kid really didn't know. He didn't have anything to compare it to. So it was whatever for you, dude. But at least, see, the reason that I have to put this stuff out there is because, see, when we walk around having the belief systems that we have today or whatever, they come from somewhere. Right? And so I need to tell y'all where mine came from. So let me say this, man, and get up off his neck. Let me say this, you know, Y'all said, Anthony, you are not responsible for your disease, but you are responsible for your recovery. And from this moment forward, understand, when I'm personally talking about recovery, I'm talking about change. Y'all told me, Anthony, recovery is an active change of your ideas and your attitude. You're going to have to change some stuff. Right? So messing around with y'all, I understand, you know, we say, you know, the disease part, Anthony, you know, it's cool because you don't know where it came from. Is it genetic or was it your environment or, you know, what happened? Well, let me say this. My first glimpse of my obsessive thinking and compulsive behavior, and underneath all of that, my total self-centeredness, you know, that I want what I want when I want it, attitude and mentality that we can have. Don't look at me like it's just me. Right? They told me, as a freshman in high school at this supposed to have been great junior high school, as an athlete, they told me, going on to the big high school, Anthony, you probably not going to be able to play because you too small, you too skinny. So, you know, they talking about the big boys, you know, that's the big high school, right? And in my spirit, I said, yes, I can. I ain't tell them that. But I say that to say that, you're talking about my first glimpse of obsession, that was the first time that I can remember in this whole journey that I'm taking y'all on that I ain't want no girls. We're talking about a freshman in high school, y'all. I ain't want no girls. I ain't want to go to no parties. I ain't want to hang out with the fellas or whatever. Y'all told me I couldn't make it, and everything that I did the summer of 1974 was geared towards me making that team. Everything. Everything I ate, sleep, drank, everything that I did something that I thought I'd never do. I went to summer school. Gee, I hated school. I went to summer school. It was all about making that team. That was my first encounter with obsession. Yeah, I made it. Went on to lead that high school in rushing and receiving. That sent me to college. So, after that first bout with obsession and compulsion pushed me on, see, I picked up the drug thing late in life, right? Because mama wasn't having that shit, right? I'm in school. I'm putting myself through school so that I can make a better life for you, and you think I'm going to put up with you acting a fool? She did everything for me, right? So, her thing was structure, discipline, and education. You're going to clean up behind yourself and you're going to get good grades and graduate from college. She didn't say you're going to college. She said you're going to graduate from college. It's non-negotiable, dude. And so that was my dream. I didn't want to let mama down, right? So we graduate from college. I get out of college. I got my little interview suit on. And I'm knocking on doors, you know what I'm saying, trying to make mama proud and make my way. And y'all talking about you need to go get some experience, dude. Well, see, right there, I was caught up because, see, that was the dream. The dream was, you know, if you graduate from college, dude, you can sustain yourself, right? You're going to be all right. You can take care of yourself. You can get a good job or whatever. And then when y'all didn't hire me or whatever, I was caught up. Mama didn't lie. I get this degree, a decent degree too, did well, all of these things, play a little ball, get your name in the paper, all of these things or whatever, but by the time I got out and I'm ready to, okay, world, here I am, let's do this or whatever, y'all flipped the script, and I was caught up for real. right? Did a little substitute teaching for a couple of years to make a few ends meet because I had gone from, you know, my son, I'm so proud of him, the athlete, right? And the college graduate or whatever. And then soon as I got that degree and y'all wouldn't hire me and I'm sitting around the house waiting for the phone ring, all of a sudden I'm that sitting around the house. It's time for you to get out and go do something, dog. Right? I done done my part. It's time for you to make your way. But I've been putting in the resumes, Mama, and I've been making it, been trying to make it happen, and I'm doing a little substitute teaching. You know, I'm waiting for the phone to ring, and I know just that she said, yeah, it's all good, but you need to do something. So I moved down to Atlanta. I'm gonna fast forward to the ugly side. I moved down to Atlanta. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, born and raised in Chi-Town. Right? I grew up in Indianapolis. And so I moved down to Atlanta off a suggestion from my best friend, and I go down there and y'all still wasn't hiring me. So now I'm really caught up. And so what happened is I'm working at a little temporary situation, and all of a sudden on the lunch break, some coworkers, they go out, you know, and it was manual labor, and some coworkers, they go out, but they come back in after lunchtime all giddy and ready to work and everything, and I want to know what's happening out on the lunch break. I want to be giddy and get through the day too, right? So, long story short, they go out, they dibbling and dabbling, you know what I'm saying, with a little herb. You can tell I'm old, we calling it herb back then. So I go out, man, and okay, let me see what's happening. Now, mind you, growing up as a student athlete in the environment that I lived in, I didn't hang with anybody not only that didn't get high, I ain't hang with nobody that smoked cigarettes, let alone got high. So that was something completely foreign to me. And fast forward this thing to get into the ugly side, let me say this. This is approximately 1984-ish. The fall of 84-ish, right, where I started dibbling and dabbling with a little herb, which led to me buying my own nickel bag to buy, you know, a 40-ounce of beer, and put it to you like this. This is 84-ish, early 85-ish or whatever. By 1987, I needed my first introduction to y'all. We talking about that crack epidemic that hit in the mid to late 80s, snatched my little ass and didn't want to let me go. So my first introduction to the ugly side, I like to call it, right? It got ugly simply because I told you I didn't want to start talking about all the skullduggery, ugly things that I did, finding ways and means to get one more. But I told y'all, too, one thing that y'all have taught me is to not play with this process, man, and come up in here, try to get brand new and act like, you know, I was the only one that gave his car to the dope man and had to steal it back. Or it was just me did that. I'm cool with it. Right? You know, I at the time, my 2-year-old, when I wasn't using, I would fill up the piggy bank with all kinds of dollars and coins and whatnot or whatever, but then I start using again because y'all would always clean me up, put a few steps in my life or whatever, and then I thought I had arrived and I didn't need y'all no more. So for a lot of years, I went in and out of this process. And I'm just saying, there were times when I was in the process and all was good and fill up the baby's piggy bank, but when I would go back to the madness or whatever, that piggy bank all of a sudden became mine again. It amazes me today how free that rose off the tongue. But you know what? I cried a lot of nights over the things that I did to the people that I loved. A lot of nights. But I wanted this so bad for so long. So from approximately August of 1987 until April 11th of 2007, I went in and out of this process a lot of times, and every time I was in this process, I was sincere about wanting to change. But I was afraid to change. Because the entire time, I just wanted y'all to be okay with me. Because see, if you were okay with me, I was okay with me. But see, for real, you know, that's the setup. It really is. Because, you know, I wore the mask of, you know, the people-pleasing, you know, friend that wanted to make you happy and okay or whatever. But there's sometimes y'all was full of shit, but I was too afraid to tell you you was full of shit. Why the fuck are we going over there to do this, dog? We could get in trouble for that shit. But you know what? I went anyway because I wanted you to be okay with me. You're talking about a new way to live. You can talk about going to do some bullshit when we leave here if you want to. You're going by your damn self today. Y'all gave me that. Y'all said the mask must go. That in itself is a new way for me to live. See, because y'all done messed around and got a hold of somebody who started out in this process with no self-esteem, gave him a little bit where it became low self-esteem, to now the shit is unlimitless for anybody struggling in this process. And you are convinced that you are an addict? If you stick to the love that's associated with Narcotics Anonymous, anything is possible. I told you I went in and out of this process for 20 years, Luke, trying to get this thing. I wanted it. But what changed? How did this new way to live for Anthony come about? You know, we call it the addict anthem. Fuck it. I went in and out of this process so many times, man, and wanted it so bad. I got to a place, man, where in April of 2011, in April of 2007, on April 11th, I had a near overdose experience. Took another addict to bring me back. It was from that moment forward, yeah, I still wanted to use because I still had more money. But I got a case of the fuck it's in reverse. I said, Lord, I just want one more shot at it. Just one more shot. And I get asked all the time, dog, what got you off that revolving door program? What changed for real? What changed was I stopped working my program and started working y'all's. You know, my program was, I'm going to only take some of the suggestions. I'm only going to tell y'all so much. Look, my first fourth step, right? My first fourth step I did with a Catholic priest, and I ain't Catholic. Because I know, if you don't know nobody, I know. I know he can't tell this, but guess what? I was such an emotional coward, I didn't tell him all the truth. Y'all know what happened, right? Relapse is real. Don't have to be your story. If you're new here, stay here. Stay here, because when we tell you, it only gets worse. Listen, I can testify to it. Right? You don't start over at going out at lunchtime with the boys, hitting a little bit of the joint, going back to work, grinning and skinning and grinning. I graduated. Crack cocaine grabbed me by the throat, and I told y'all I didn't want to let me go. My second fourth step, I was a little bit more honest, right? I didn't say I was totally honest. I was a little bit more honest, but after me and my sponsor got finished with that five, he burned that. I demanded he burn. Because see, I revealed some more stuff I had swore to take to my grave. But again, y'all know what happened, right? Relapse is real. So again, I come back to the question, when we're talking about a new way to live, what changed was I got that case of the fuck it's with Narcotics Anonymous, and I said, be it hook or crook, I'm giving it everything. And if you don't like me, so what? I'm going for mine. That brings me up close and personal to where I am today. Where I am today is I have surrounded myself and embedded myself so deep in this process or whatever, it's hard for the Grim Reaper to come and get me. I'm not saying he can't, but I understand that I have but a daily reprieve, so one day at a time, I do what it is y'all suggest that I do. My sponsor suggested that I come up here and get spiritually butt naked and tell my story. This is my story. Because I understand that if I am just completely honest with where I am, you can be completely honest with me back and let me know how I can get over one more day. Because that's all this is about for me. One more day. I love this thing, man. A new way to live. Real quick, and touch on some things about how I'm living today, man. How I'm living today is I'm no longer that scared, spoiled, egotistical, self-centered child. I'm still a little spoiled. But by the same token, you know, I'm okay enough with Anthony that I spoil my damn self. I'm worthy today. Y'all gave me that. I don't have to walk around. See, for you that are new in this process, understand something. When we're talking about humility, we're not talking about you having to walk around with the guilt and shame and remorse and pain that you came in here dragging your tail between your legs. We're just asking you to take the mask off and be okay with being exactly who you are. You all right? Because when you come into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and raise your hand and say that you're an addict, guess what? Your story is told. If we didn't do it, we know somebody else that did. This process is beyond amazing. It's helped me to address any issue that I have going on with me. All I have to do is be honest with you about what it is, be open enough to receive what it is you have to say back to help me with it, and be willing to put some footwork behind my prayers. If I do that, the world is mine. It continues to be mine. Now, make no mistake about it. I'm not talking about, you know, some exorbitant amount of money in the bank or the greatest whip and all of these material things or whatever. I told y'all I just wanted to be okay with me, whether you were or not. Y'all gave me that. So they gave me the tap, right? Which is cool because it's amazing for me, man, how oftentimes, you know, I've been blessed to be asked to talk about the process of recovery, man, and you get, you know, wait a minute, 30 minutes and 20 minutes and all of that stuff, man, I ain't got that much to say or whatever, but I have to understand something. Knowing me as I do, the minute you talk, the conversation turns to recovery all of a sudden, man, we can talk about some things. Y'all bless me with all 12. My sponsor and I gonna do another 5 this weekend. And I ain't scared. Y'all gave me that. Be proud of yourself. You're talking about the therapeutic value. Yeah, I love the extended family that I have. They incredible. They really proud. They really, really proud of your boy. But guess what? They can't help me the way that you can. See, because they can't understand stealing your own car back. They can't understand staying out for 3-4 days off a bag of potato chips, trying to figure out ways and means to get one more. They can't understand all of that. I can't stand up in, quote unquote, a religious church setting and say, you know what, damn it, irregardless, man, life is good, but I still want to get high. They're going to look at me like... have all kind of ushers come and get you. They gave me the wrap-up sign, but I came by to tell the newcomer something. See, you might think that your situation is hopeless. You might think that, you know, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this, or I don't know how I'm going to make that happen, or whatever. You might think that there's no way out, but I'm trying to tell you, this process makes us a promise. And it has fulfilled its promise. All you got to do is look around you, because any day clean for an addict. If y'all suffer from the same disease that I suffer from, any day clean is a successful day. It really is. Simply because we know what we come from. We know how we used to live. And if we ain't doing those things today, Narcotics Anonymous is doing what it promised us it will do. I can go on and on about this process, man. I love this process. I love y'all. But when I say I love y'all, I'm not saying it because it's the nice, right, or polite thing to say. I'm saying it because I know all of my dreams run through y'all. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I'm a recovering addict. My name is Anthony. I'll keep coming back.